Looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Policy terms and conditions apply.
He still believes the American dream. His last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. You know what? There's a lot of people in this audience, active duty military, veterans, and their families, who think they're in pretty good shape. Well, take a look at Phil Heath. Bodybuilding champion Phil Heath is a new documentary coming out called Breaking Olympia, and we'll tell you all about that. Phil, how you doing?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Like I mentioned, so our audience is comprised of mainly active duty military and veterans. And, you know, there's a fitness mentality that runs through the military. And I don't know if you've ever interacted with some of those guys, but quite a difference in what you do and what they do, right?
Oh, absolutely. And first and foremost, thank you all for your service. I know that freedom is not free. I've been fortunate to work with the USO and travel around the world to go meet with many of you and on base. And the first thing I usually ask those representatives at the USO is to take me to the damn gym. I want to go hang out with you guys. And, hey, I tell you what, you guys are in there, and I really am excited, you know, each and every time. I can't wait to do another one because I'm trying to think the last time I did an appearance. I went to Gitmo. That's where it was.
Oh, wow.
I went to Gitmo.
Wow.
Yeah, I went there with Jonathan Goldsmith, the old Dos Equis guy.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
we had a fantastic time, you know, and being able to just sit there and visit with everyone, you know, anything from playing the guitar with everybody and playing ping pong, you know, just hanging out and just doing some, you know, really cool stuff. Because I understand that a lot of the time you're not with your family or your loved ones back in the States. But let me tell you, I am the guy that will always, you know, salute you guys and thank you guys. Because I understand. I'm just a civilian. I have been very fortunate. You guys keep us going, man, so thank you.
Well, thank you, Phil. We're talking to Phil Heath here on the National Defense, bodybuilding champion, and the new documentary executive produced by your good buddy, I guess, huh, Dwayne Johnson?
Not too shabby, right? You know,
yeah.
You get to hang out with a big guy.
It's not bad.
Not bad. You know, he's a wonderful guy and a real gentleman. You know, he and I were able to train a few times and just be able to chat about life, and he was one of the, you know, big brothers that I had regarding doing this project and how it would end. And one of the things that he taught me was understanding how to allow the fans to love you and to do some, and sometimes you got to do an event such as this Olympia for yourself. I mean, you say you want to do it. I mean, aside from, you know, your faith, and whatnot, but you always end up saying, well, I'm doing it for this person, doing it for that person. Sometimes you still have to sit there and say, I'm going to do this particular one for me first, because I'm putting in so much effort into this, and it isn't always about winning. And that's hard for me because I'm a highly competitive person, but I understood what he was saying because, you know, I had to watch him compete, you know, in the WWE, being a 12-time champion, and him having to walk away for a little while and then periodically come back as we see today. But, yeah, he was the one. I remember sitting with him in his trailer in Atlanta, and he just said, Phil, you got to really have a high grade of intention when it comes to this one, because we're also competing during COVID. So,
right.
So that was very, very strenuous on the mind, body, and spirit. But, what a great friend to have. I'm very happy that he gave a lot of his time to this project. And, you know, we all know he's still in that damn gym.
Oh my gosh.
Kicking butt. So, yeah, you know, right. He's doing really good.
We're talking to 7-time Mr. Olympia champion, bodybuilding champion, Phil Heath. Phil, when did you get into bodybuilding? At what age?
It was right before my 23rd birthday.
Okay.
Right before, because I was playing basketball in college all 4 years, and then that ended in March. So we're like talking about March Madness right now. So in 2002, yeah, quite a long time ago, I played my last game. And then that summer I was playing in a pro-am. And then I just decided that October, I'm going to wait until all my teammates leave, because I was still living in the basketball house. And I took you'll get a kick out of this. I took a 1.8 megapixel camera and I set the timer. And I took my first self-portrait, selfie, right? And I said, this is the picture. This is the picture that commemorates my journey as to being a bodybuilder.
Oh, wow.
And everybody, and no one has ever seen this photograph.
Really?
No, maybe only a handful of people have seen this photograph. I did not post it on social media. For some reason, it was a godsend. It said, he told me, like, do not share this. And I am sharing this first of its kind in Breaking Olympia.
It's in the documentary.
It's in the doc. So everyone that watches get to see my starting point.
Wow.
And it's, I'd say it's pretty cool. Like it was,
I'd say
it's pretty impressive. I'm very proud of it because I had a pretty good physique, you know, in college playing hoops. But, you know, obviously nothing like what I acquired over those years.
Right.
But it's a great starting point for people to see, like, wait a minute, this is what he looked like? Wow, I'm not that far from that.
Right,
Or wow, like, I'm on the right path, you know, so it's a good reference point.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, and I would encourage anybody right now, if you have not seen a picture of Phil Heath, Google that immediately, because this guy is a monster. I mean, this guy, I mean, Phil, you're one of those guys that when you walk into a place, I mean, people have to comment, right?
Yeah, they usually comment either with their eyes and they keep their mouth closed, you know, they kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do know what you mean.
They're like, oh my gosh, you know, so, and then you catch them like they dip their head and they're going into their phone and they're texting their friend like, hey, I just saw this guy, you know, like,
yeah. So, I mean, give us some numbers here, like, bench pressing. What's your
most I've done? Yeah. The most I did was 505. The best I did was, on reps as far as dumbbells are concerned were 180s. I did 180s before for 12 on each hand, so that was pretty good. And then I squatted 585, deadlifted 625. I didn't want to go more than that.
Oh my gosh.
No way. There's other guys that are much stronger with those better numbers, but I'm like, I'm not here to powerlift. I'm here to bodybuild, man.
So what is your defining moment that you can look back on and say, you know what, I'm very proud of that. I pushed through that and I made myself work hard at that. Is there a defining moment that you can look back on and say, man, that was my best?
When I was able to visit with my father, who was diagnosed with amyloidosis and he was given a month to live, and he had told me to go ahead and whip the you know what on stage, and I happened to do that. And then he passed that following spring.
Oh, wow.
You know, I was able to, you know, have him at a show before. He was able to watch me win. But then hearing those words, go give him hell, son, you got this. And I went ahead and not just beat the competition, but I beat them with perfect scores. And, yeah, it was just awesome. Awesome moment.
What a cool guy. What a cool guy you are. Phil Heath and the documentary Breaking Olympia coming out Tuesday, March 26th. Man, thank you for the time, Phil. And I can't wait to see this thing. This is going to be so inspirational for so many people.
Thank you. And, you know, all the best to you, your family, and everyone listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
My name is Ariel. I'm a strategic sourcing specialist at the Disneyland Resort. Transitioning out of the military is challenging. It can be one of the hardest things you've ever done. That challenge became the beginning of my journey. The military fellowship program allowed me to find the next chapter. It's the pathway to help veterans transition into the private sector. The Walt Disney Company does a great job of letting veterans know that they have a home here and can help them continue to give back to the community and build long-lasting relationships and create magic.
There are other automakers in Detroit, but there's only one that's built for Detroit. Ford, the motor company that remembers the Motor City who birthed it. The one restoring the old train station. The one that employs more hourly workers in the U.S. than any other automaker. The one that assembles more vehicles in the U.S. than any other manufacturer. The one that supplied PPE to frontline workers in Detroit and assembled ventilators and respirators when the U.S. needed them. The one with a football field in Detroit named after the century-old family-led business started right here in Detroit. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on Center for Automotive Research data.
It's April, so you know what that means. Hot cars! And Cool April Nights is back, April 19th to the 28th. It's going to be bigger than ever. So mark your calendar for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shine. A drive-in movie. Cornhole tournament with $1,000 in prizes. Don't forget to dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th. End the week by coming to the biggest show and shine of them all at the Civic Auditorium on Saturday, April 27th. There will be 2,000 classic cars on display, tons of great food, a variety of vendors, and lots of chances to win prizes at our annual Poker Walk or Raffle City. Get your tickets today at any of the 8 local Napa Auto Parts stores to avoid the line. Cool April Nights returns April 19th to the 28th, so mark your calendars. For a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tagger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And yes, for 9 seasons, Roma Downey played Monica the Angel in the CBS television series Touched by an Angel. Fantastic show. She also played the leading role of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis in the Emmy Award-winning NBC miniseries A Woman Named Jackie. We're so happy to have Roma Downey back with us here on the National Defense. Roma, how are you?
Randy, I am very good. Thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to be speaking with you.
It is so great to talk to you again, and we so enjoyed you in Touched by an Angel, and now you're in a brand new Amazon Prime show, The Baxters series, which will be available on March 28th, and this sounds fantastic. It's based on the Redemption series from best-selling author Karen Kingsbury, and the Baxters' riveting family drama that follows Elizabeth and John Baxter and their five adult children. And they already have ordered three seasons of this for Amazon.
Yeah, because it's that good, Randy. It's such good storytelling. Karen is a master storyteller, and I fell in love with the book. As a fan, I was reading the first book. I couldn't put it down. It was just such a page-turner. And I thought to myself, this needs to be a TV series. There's so much great content in here. This family is awesome. So I reached out to Karen, and I said, please, please, can you entrust me to make this into a TV series? I'm grateful to say that she did. And here we are with the Baxters coming to Amazon Prime Video. And, you know, I've been producing and authoring books the last few years since Touchdown Angel. I haven't really stepped in front of the camera again myself. And I was drawn back in. I play Elizabeth Baxter. So it was fun to be back on the screen. Ted McGinley plays my husband,
yeah.
John Baxter. And in them we get to see love and commitment modeled well again. But I might add, you know, it's a show, Randy, that deals with, you know, the challenges in anybody's life, like your family, my family. You know, some things are just going to happen to people. People have issues. In this first couple of episodes, we're going to be dealing with an infidelity. It's, you know, it's real life stuff. It's painful stuff. It's, but I think because they're a family of faith, they're a church-going family, we get to see how they deal with these issues through that lens. And I think that's what separates it, because it's quite unique. We don't get to see people who share our values much on those. And anyway, it's coming on right in time for Easter weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just excited to be back in the space.
Oh, it's going to be so great to see you back on the screen. We're talking to Roma Downey here on the National Defense. And, yeah, so as you mentioned, yeah, some heavy subjects here that the show will deal with. And that's very unusual for a family drama like this that talks about faith to talk about some of these real things that happen in families. And like you mentioned, season one, the shocking truth that your daughter's professor, husband Tim, has been secretly having an affair with one of his college students. And to deal with that head on and work through that with your faith, I don't know if I've ever even heard of another show like that.
No, I agree, Randy. It doesn't exist, you know. And I know that for people who do believe, to be able to see a family working these problems out together,
right?
I'm hoping will be very helpful for people, you know. But the stories are dynamic, and you know, this is the brilliance of Karen's writing that drives you to the book and then makes you want to pick up book two. You know, she's written 26 or 27 of these books. So in success, the Baxter's TV series could be running forever. But there's just so much story, so much plot. You know, in recent years, I've learned a new word, which is binging. You know, when you find a TV show that you love.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know that word.
Right? I mean, back when Touchdown Angel was on TV, it was on Sunday nights. And if you loved it on Sunday night, you had to wait another week
for the
new episode to come. Now that doesn't exist. Now you go to the platform, in this case it's Amazon's Prime Video, and you turn on episode one, and if you loved episode one, you can watch episode two right away, and if you loved that, you can watch episode three right away, take a little break, come back and watch four. This is how people are now consuming content, and the Baxters is especially bingeable because it plays out like a soap opera, but we call it a hope opera.
Ah.
And I want families to sit together and watch it. It's a multi-generational experience, and there aren't that many shows on TV that you feel comfortable that you could sit down with your kids and with your parents and watch the show together.
Absolutely, you know, and it's so true with not just TV shows but movies, where I've sat down with you know, my adult daughter to watch a movie, and then, you know, 10 minutes into it, you're cringing. You're all of a sudden
you're embarrassed. You're like, I don't want to be watching this with my kids.
You're right.
This is not you know, the kind. Yeah. No, I know. So this is not that. This is a family show. It's being made by families. In fact, my own daughter, my adult daughter, plays my adult daughter.
Oh, really?
My own real life daughter, Riley, yes. And then my dear friend, Kathy Lee Gifford, who I've known forever, stepped into a guest starring role for me because her daughter, Cassidy Gifford, who's also an actress, a very gifted actress, plays a series regular on it. So we've got two real-life moms, two real-life daughters in the show. It's a family show, and it's been made for your family to watch together. And it is, it's, you know, I'm just very pleased. It's, you know, it takes a long time and a lot of people, Randy, to make anything, you know. You guys over there all know about the spirit of teams working together, the importance of that. Right. And that's, you know, it's a little bit like that in our business, too. I get to be the front person. I produce this and I star in it. So I get to be the one out front talking about it. But it takes a village to put a TV show on. And we got a great group. We had wonderful directors, a great, great talented cast, writers, you know, designers. It's a group effort and, you know, grateful to everybody who brought their best to make this, you know, what I believe is going to be a hit show this Easter season on Prime Video.
Yeah, you know, it takes a lot to, yeah, it does take a village to produce and work on a TV show. But, you know, when you have Roma Downey and her husband Mark Burnett at the head of this deal, it's got to be a little bit easier, right?
Yes, well, you know, we do our best, and we have been, you know, Mark and I have worked together for years, and, you know, we share a heart for this kind of content. It's just important to us. I think there needs to be shows that reflect the kinds of people that we are as well. You know, there's room for all kinds of shows on TV, but,
sure.
You know, I know that my community and my church are super excited. You know, as somebody that goes to church with me said, she said, I never see somebody that goes to church on the TV shows or else I'm making fun of them. You know, not just like this is a choice, you know. So
the first time you went to your church, when you were on Touched by an Angel, that had to be a surreal moment for other people at the church to see you walking into that church and going, she's here.
I know it was. It was kind of trippy. But, you know, by then they knew, you know, they knew the trippier thing used to be sometimes just in stores, you know, and when I'd be shopping, I'm there going through the rail for, you know, looking for a new shirt or a new cardigan. And then suddenly, you know, somebody on the other side of that rail looks up and looks right at me and I would smile and then they go, are you really here? You know. I was like, no, I'm here. I'm a shopper. I'm not here in an angel capacity. You know? And then my co-star, John Dye, who played the Angel of Death.
Oh, I mean, yes.
He had so many people, particularly if he was flying somewhere, people on the plane would be like, you're not here in a professional capacity. Are you?
Roma, you're so fantastic.
He's here to bring us all home. He's like, nah, I'm just going to Hawaii.
You're so fantastic. This is going to be a great show. The Baxters starts on March 28th, Amazon Prime. Roma, thank you so much for the time and continued great success.
Thank you so much, Randy, and God bless all your listeners out there. We're grateful for everybody's service.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-419-1964. 800-419-1964. 800-419-1964. That's 800-419-1964.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. online at KCNR1460.com.
Red Bluff Roundup is on April 19th, 20th, and 21st. Get your tickets now. Over $350,000 is up for grabs for 700 competitors. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is Patriot Day, brought to you by Food Max and Outback Contractors. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7, and an after party with live music. Saturday brought to you by Sierra Pacific Windows, Sierra Pacific Industries, and Red Bluff Dodge. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30, and an evening concert by country music star Chase Matthews. And Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Roundup office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim and Lenny Matthews for our show Ask Elle right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here on Tuesday night at 6 p.m. brought to you by KNS Staffing Solutions,
530-605-4517.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Man, there's a great new book out. It's coming out, Medgar and Murley. And it's something that everybody needs to know about, everybody needs to read. And Joy Reid is here with us, host of MSNBC's The Read Out and the author of Medgar and Murley. Joy, how are you?
Randy, it's so great to be here. I'm wonderful.
Hey, thank you so much for not only taking the time today, but also for this exceptional writing that has taken a long time, right?
It was a good 2.5 years of research and work and research and writing. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of work, but it was a joy to do it.
Yeah, it's such an important subject. It's been 60 years since civil rights activist Medgar Evers was gunned down in front of his Mississippi home while his three children and wife, Murley, were feet away. And this woman, Murley, she is incredible. I mean, she has seen everything, and she just kept going, didn't she?
She absolutely did. I mean, you think about being a 31-year-old woman with three small children, 9, 8, and 3, who were all traumatized by seeing their dad, you know, bleeding in front of them, trying to drag himself into the house and screaming and hearing their mother screaming. And, you know, she really picked herself up from everything from, you know, which she very openly talked about, deep depression. You know, she had 11 years with this man that she's still in love with. If you talk with Murley today, she'll tell you that this man is the love of her life. And she knew it would end this way, you know. And so when it did, it was so heartbreaking and enraging to her. And she felt responsible not just to make sure those children were cared for, but that his legacy was cared for. And she truly is an American hero who ended up being the leader, national leader of the NAACP. So she's got a great story and an iconic story, and just is a wonderful person.
Absolutely. A great subject to write about, certainly. We're talking to Joyann Reed here on the National Defense, host of MSNBC's The Readout and author of Medgar and Murley. And why isn't this story as well known as other civil rights cases?
I think in part just because of the timing of when Medgar Evers died. You know, I mean, this is a man who, you know, I think really poignant to your audience, was a national hero. He'd served in World War II,
right,
in the infantry. He had been as part of the Red Ball Express, which was the transportation corps. He'd served in Belgium as well, in Normandy Beach. You know, he'd done all of the things, right? And it was one of the reasons, I think, that President Kennedy connected with him, that they had that war service in common. And you know, in fact, when he was assassinated, the first person that President Kennedy handed a copy of his promised civil rights bill to was Murley.
Oh, wow.
And she and her children visited the White House, and he is the one who made it possible for Medgar to be buried at Arlington Cemetery. It was President Kennedy who ordered that. But I think what happened was that Kennedy himself was assassinated months after that. The March on Washington, not long before that, happened that August. The bombing of the church in Birmingham, and killing four little girls. That year was so violent, and there were just so many violent, things that happened, culminating in the assassination of the president, that I think events just overtook Medgar's, the knowledge and memory of Medgar.
Yeah, and yet, you know, whenever you think about it or see a news clip of that heinous act, I mean, it just shocks you. I mean, it just to the core that somebody could be that full of hate. And then it took what, Joyann, 30 years to bring the assassin to justice?
Yeah, and it is one of the sort of great ironies of, you know, and, you know, Rachel Maddow writes about this a lot, and she writes about it in her new book as well, that, you know, there's a lot of contradictions in that era in the 1940s, which was, you know, an heroic era for this country in many ways. You know, Byron Dillon Beckwith was also a World War II veteran, and he had the ability, trained by our military, to take that sniper shot from across the street. And, you know, what I interviewed some of the people who lived on the block who were children at the time, and they made a point that I hadn't really, and for whatever reason I hadn't really thought about, which was that when this man killed Medgar Evers in front of his family, he also, in many ways, assassinated the childhood of every child on that block. They all knew Medgar. He was the fun dad on the block. He was the dad who would throw the football because he was a football player. So he would play football with the boys on the block. He was the one who would throw the kid, you know, the boys into the car because he didn't do a normal 9-to-5. He had sort of a different kind of schedule. So he would take all the kids and throw them in his car and take them to see a drive-in movie. You know, he was the fun dad, and they couldn't believe it. And so as children, also when the Evers moved away, that means their friends moved away. So it broke up this very tight-knit block. And I think that that's one of the things that we forget is these were people. You know, these are all human beings. And that we kind of think of people as icons and we take away their humanity.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that I wanted to do with this book was to put the humanity back into these stories of civil rights. Because these weren't supermen from another planet. They were just regular people.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. We're talking to Joyann Reed here in the National Defense, the new book, Medgar and Murley. And so when you approached the family initially about writing the book, did they take to it right away or was there some resistance? How did that go?
I think there was some resistance. I mean, you know, Murley Evers Williams has written two wonderful biographies, which I read and quote, you know, from in the book as well. Medgar Evers, she had helped Manning Marable, who's a great, the late, great Manning Marable, compile his papers into a book. So she'd done biographies. And at first, it's interesting, when she first told me and just sort of expressed this sort of love story, we just got into a conversation about Medgar, and I said to her, you should write about this. This is what you should write about. It's just this love story. And she said, oh, no, know, I've written two books. I'm not writing another book. And when I, you know, when I thought, you know, I want to do it, I think somebody should hear this incredible, intense love, you know, that she feels and read this love story. I did approach the family, and it took a little bit for them to think about it because, you know, their mom is 90. She's now 91. Right. You know what I mean? They're like, they weren't sure she wants to relive it. And it was really hard getting her to have to relive, especially that day. She was so joyful talking about her grandma and her aunt and how she grew up and her, you know, her friends and the good parts of her life and her love for Banker. But talking about reliving the assassination was hard for her. And I didn't want to put her through that. So this whole thing was very difficult, you know, to really do. And even writing it was difficult because once I'd really gotten to know these people, all these characters, all these humans, it was very hard to write about their pain. So I think the whole process was difficult. And I know it was difficult for the family. But the good news is they are happy with the book. She was my most important critic. I needed her to like the book.
Sure. Yeah, right.
It would have been a total failure.
Right.
But she's happy. If she's happy, I'm happy.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting that, and not surprising at all, after the assassination, she was angry and hateful. And it took her a while to overcome that, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's a thing with women that, you know, women are never supposed to be angry. Women are always supposed to be pretty and, you know, full of grace. And she had to confront it, especially in that era. Think about it. She was a 1950s housewife. Mm. And then he's killed in 1963. In that era, there were so many more constraints on the way women could be, let alone black women, on how you could present yourself. And she didn't have a model for what she was supposed to do. You know, she was the first nationally known civil rights widow. You know, most of the black women whose husbands were being assassinated, shot in the face, shot to death, they would just sort of disappear into the ether.
Right.
When her husband was killed, she walked out the door, and Dan Rather is standing there with the CBS News crew.
Oh, wow.
She had to figure out in that moment, right, what to do. She was the first one that had a national, that her husband had a national profile. So she walks out the door, and there's news crew and police and her neighbors, and they're all standing there. And in that moment, she had to figure out what to do. And she's 31 years old and grieving and angry. And she said what she really wanted to do was run inside, get one of Medgar's many, many guns, and come out there and just mow everyone down.
Right. right. Yeah.
So, I mean, he wasn't Dr. King. He had guns.
Yeah, right. We're talking to Joy Ann Reid here, The National Defense, her new book, Medgar and Merle. So in the process of writing this, what did you find out about yourself?
You know, that's a great question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. I think one of the things that I found out is how much I actually really do love and appreciate the American South. And that's an odd thing to say, I think, for a black person, because the South is where our pain really comes from in many ways. It's where black people were incarcerated for, you know, 250-some-odd years and then for another 100 years of Jim Crow. But the resilience of the people of the South, the resilience of black folks from the South is like nothing else.
Yeah.
Their ability to withstand horror and to still have dignity is unlike anything in this country. And I came to really love Jackson and the people there and the people in rural Mississippi. And it gave me a deep respect. You know, there's a sense that it's the people who moved. It's the great migration black folk who are the heroic or the smartest ones because they got the hell out of there. And why would you stay?
Right.
It's a horrible way to live. But the people who stayed have a strength and have a dignity, an inherent dignity that is really deeply impressive. I mean, these are the descendants who built America. And they're still here, and they're still fighting, and they're still in the struggle, and they're still getting an incredible pushback to the execution of their rights, the violence against them, the state violence, just everything is sort of built against them. But they still are standing, and I have deep respect for that.
That's incredible. What a great time for this book to come out. It's called Medgar and Merle. Joy Ann Reid, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for writing this, and just continued great success.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back here on The National Defense.
I'm Dan, and I'm a manager of supplier diversity at the Walt Disney Company. I enlisted in the Army when I was 17 years old, did a quick 30 years after that, and got out in 2017. Leaving that after 30 years, it's a scary thing. figuring out how do I get where I want to be. And that was the biggest challenge. I was looking for a company that I felt just as proud to work for that I did while I was in uniform. I remember one day I was driving home and I said, I'm going to be a cast member at Walt Disney World. A few weeks later it happened. So it was just a seamless transition and I knew I'd made the right decision on which company to come to.
So you're in the middle of a kitchen update, and you can't tell if that's a faucet stem or a flange. With the Home Depot app, doing doesn't miss a beat. It'll find what you need in a snap, and it'll show you how to find it in store with a tap. Or get it delivered free. For doing that doesn't stop, download the Home Depot app. It's made for doing.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. T-Mobile offers exclusive discounts for veteran and military families and are proud supporters of the National Defense Network. Visit T-Mobile.com/military to learn more about how they support our military community. Major League Baseball traveled to South Korea to open the regular season this week, and with it came Hall of Fame pitcher Trevor Hoffman to meet with U.S. troops and their families. The San Diego Padres great spent time with baseball fans at Camp Humphrey, the largest U.S. military base overseas, ahead of his former team's exhibition games against Team Korea on Sunday and the LG Twins on Monday. The Padres won both matchups. Hoffman, who played 18 years in the majors and was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2018, posed for photographs, signed memorabilia, and chatted with fans for about an hour during Sunday's meet and greet at Humphrey's Main Exchange. He was joined by team mascot, the Swinging Friar. Hoffman now serves as senior advisor for baseball operations for the Padres.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster is proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The Shasta College summer term will start June 10th, and priority registration has started. Contact a counselor and check out all the cool classes being offered this summer. Get a jump start on a degree or certificate, or get transfer ready by taking one of the many classes held this summer at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/admissions to get started.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is fascinating. Now, I can remember when this book came out, And it was a big deal because this is one of those really rare first-person accounts of somebody that experienced extreme combat. And your grandfather did such a great job with this. How did you kind of come to know about this and really kind of get behind it?
I mean, my grandfather wrote this when I was growing up, and I knew that he was working on a book for the family. But it wasn't until I was in my college years that I read the book, and I really was like, wow, I mean, so many things I thought I knew, I didn't know, and it's so incredible. And he didn't talk about these experiences to his four kids right after the war. It wasn't until decades later when he was, you know, ready to open up, and I think it was a therapeutic process for him. And when my mom and I found out a few years ago that he was going to be a supporting character in Hankston Spielberg's Masters of the Air, we looked at each other and we said, hey, you know, it's out of print. He basically self-published it. We need to get this available for anybody that wants to learn more about the 8th Air Force, specifically the Bloody Huntress, and maybe about my grandfather's story, because there is going to be a renewed interest in this, and there's going to be a whole younger generation of people that are going to learn about what these guys went through, and I wanted to have this out there as a resource. So it comes out Tuesday, and I can't believe it's finally here. My mom and I, we wrote the foreword, and I'm just so excited.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is we've had Tom Hanks on this show four times now, and every time he comes on, he could not be more supportive of veterans for the military, and you know all the work that he's done toward that Band of Brothers, and you know so many others. But you met him on the set?
No, I've met Tom Hanks before because I've interviewed him for projects that he's done because I'm an entertainment reporter. But when I went to the set, no, he was not there, but I've gotten to know so many members of his production company at Playtone, such amazing people. They've gone to such great lengths and so much money spent to get the story right. And when I went to the set in England, it was unbelievable because, you know, those prison camps, they don't really exist anymore. I mean, I've been to Fort Babbitt, the Air Force base that my grandfather flew out of, that's now a museum run by a sweet couple named Ron and Carol. But I saw Stalag Loop 3, right? I walked through it as if it's built to scale. I mean, it's these sets are so big, they were an hour apart or more.
Wow.
So I didn't get to see all the sets. You know, but they rebuilt B-17s from scratch. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. I can't wait for people to see it. It's so neat.
Yeah, that's the one thing, though, with Tom Hanks, that he, especially when it comes to the military and anything military-themed, he wants to get it right, exactly right. And we've had discussions about the details of that. And, I mean, down to the last little bit, you know, he wants to make sure that everything is authentic. And it sounds like he did that, you know, with this, too. We're talking to Chloe Melas here on the National Defense and the book Luck of the Draw that comes out this week, My Story of the Air War in Europe from her grandfather, Frank Murphy. And you mentioned the Bloody Hundred. Let's talk about he was a member of the 100th Bomb Group, one of five B-17 bomb groups sent to England in the spring of 43 to form the new 4th Bomber Wing. And it was some of the bloodiest fighting of the war, right?
Yes. And, you know, my grandfather, he had wanted to be a pilot, but his vision just wasn't good enough. And so there was a desperate need for navigators, as you know. So he agreed, and after some training, he went over to England, and he flew 21 missions and shot down on his 21st mission over Munster and remained a prisoner of war for the next year and a half.
Wow.
And, you know, I was actually just came across the other day some video of my grandfather in an interview talking about being shot out of the airplane that was reported for the Mighty 8th Air Force Museum down in Savannah, where I've served on the board of directors actually for the last almost 10 years. You know, this is not a subject that I just recently became interested in. This is something that I sort of went on my own mission in my 20s. When I moved to New York, I went and I listened to Don Miller speak, who wrote Masters of the Air,
right.
You know, the New York Times bestselling book that was optioned for this series. And I became friendly with him. And that's when I started going to these 100th Bomb Group reunions. And I have found a whole family, you know, and to be able to have my grandfather's memoir out there, it's not about my grandfather. I mean, it is, but it isn't. I'm excited to shine a light on the 8th Air Force. I'm excited to raise money for veterans, and I'm just so happy that my grandfather put pen to paper, literally, spent a decade researching this book. I mean, it's not just a book, right? I mean, he did methodical research. It's really well done. And I'm just glad that it's there, right? Because we all forget our past. And to have that on paper is great for anybody out there who wants to learn. And also, it's not just for people who like military history. You know, it's a story of resilience.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the things that he talks about in the book are so – he does such a great job describing and kind of painting the picture of all of this. I can't wait to see it on the screen. I mean, just the navigator part where he's talking about, you know, climbing aboard this B-17, this vintage B-17, lugging a briefcase crammed with maps, charts, books, paper, pencils, drawing instruments, a handheld calculator, and strange-looking optical instruments. I mean, you might as well have had a globe in there, right?
I know. And, you know, if you knew my grandfather, you'd know that he was such a calm person. So you couldn't have picked a better person for this position because he just had the right temperament and he was just so smart, right?
Right.
He's kind of like the perfect person. It's like you'd hate him. Because he was the captain of the football team, class president, good looking guy, but soft spoken, no enemies, just a nice guy, always there to lend a helping hand. And you heard people say, you know, it was my plane, but it was Frank's crew. And I thought that that was just really special.
Yeah.
And things that I've read. But, you know, it comes, you know, if you look at what they went through, I mean, you know, the Holocaust and things like that and those types of extermination camps, I mean, that was evil, right? Like, that was bad. So if you compare what my grandfather went through, it's like a country club compared to that, right? And obviously he lived. But when you do just dissect what he went through, if you isolate what he went through, you know, near starvation, dysentery, lice, he had pneumonia. At the end of the war, he had lost, you know, over 50 pounds.
Wow.
His parents didn't know for quite some time whether he was dead or alive. His dad was calling the White House every single day, furious with the president, and wanted to know where his son was. They eventually got a telegram that he was a POW. And, you know, my grandfather, one of my favorite stories is insane, but going from one prison camp to the other, Selog Loop 3 to Selog 7A, that march to Moosburg in the snow when the Russians were advancing and the Germans knew the war was close to over, and so they transferred the POWs, and
it's
this harrowing death march. And, you know, my grandfather said they were dropping like flies all around him and that they were begging each other to carry on. And I have one of the shoes that my grandfather wore on that march.
Oh, wow.
It sits in my office. Yeah.
Oh, man. You talk about inspirational. I mean, that's...
That's the one thing I'm not giving away, actually. So call me selfish, but we've given everything on loan to the 100th Bomb Group Foundation and the Mighty Eighth Museum, as well as Thorpe Abbott's has a bunch of stuff. But, that's the one thing I'm keeping. I think I'll just keep it for the family. It's really special. It signifies the will to live.
Right. Right. And overcoming every obstacle that's thrown in front of you. And I understand that, I guess, Gary Sinise served with your grandfather, or his uncle served with your grandfather.
Jack, right? And Gary, he just tweeted about the book. So I was so happy. I've interviewed Gary a bunch about his foundation. And so that was really sweet. I mean, you know, I've become really good friends now with former Energy Secretary Rick Perry. He's my dude. He's my fellow Texan. I grew up in Dallas.
Right.
And I just loved him. What a neat experience. I wish I could tell my grandfather all the friends I've made because
of
him.
Right.
The family I have. Chosen family. It's really cool.
I'll bet he knows. I bet he knows. Chloe, this is very exciting. Luck of the Draw, My Story of the Air War in Europe, reissued as of this week, and I would encourage you to not only get it, and then it'll be like your manual for Masters of the Air, which is coming up on Apple Plus. So, Chloe, thank you so much for the time. Thank you for bringing this back to life, too.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Restoring truth, correcting bias in education, one topic at a time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
I'm Riley Gaines, 12-time All-American swimmer and director of the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute. You may remember my story. I tied male swimmer Leah, formerly Will Thomas, and was forced to step aside while he accepted my trophy for a photo op. But I'm not alone. Over the past few years, women and girls have been stripped of opportunities to fairly compete in sports, denied scholarships, put in physical danger, and exposed to humiliation in locker rooms. These injustices will only accelerate if we don't speak up now. That's why I'm traveling to college campuses across America, encouraging the next generation to fight for fairness and for truth. My speeches are free and open to the public. To see if I'm speaking on a campus near you, visit RileyGainsCenter.org/events.
That's RileyGainsCenter.org/.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.